Dave Rendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Countout, the greatest top 10 pro wrestling show right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson, available wherever fine podcasts are. If you're listening to the show on a podcast app, please leave us a rating or review. It would go a long ways towards getting Going In Raw the kind of exposure it needs to succeed in the digital landscape of professional wrestling
growth
stuff.
So on and so forth.
We're also, of course, on the YouTube, as I already said. You can hit that subscribe button, a little notify bell next to it. Make sure you're always getting that new Going In Raw content. I'm sure you probably have to dig into your settings and, you know, allow it to do whatever you want it to do in terms of sending you notifications.
Oh, look who's on Spotify.
Holy crap! Oh my God! The road to Spotify is complete! We got there a year later.
Yeah.
It was a year ago they were on the road to Spotify. Wow.
We're there now.
Oh my gosh. We're on Spotify now.
You talked about podcast platforms because a while back I tried to get us on Spotify. Seems like it worked.
Yep. Wowie wow. Interesting. Very exciting. We're also at Patreon. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. A great financial way to support Going In Raw. We have a bunch of reward tiers, ranging from $1, and you know, you get to ask a question on the show.
Yeah.
$1, all the way up to like $50 to get a t-shirt and a comic book. But this is Count Out. This is, of course, where we count down things in pro wrestling. And given, as we discussed on the dirt sheet this past...
That's very exciting. Sorry.
It is very exciting.
On Spotify.
Did you just tweet it out?
No, I just looked to make sure to see if it was like everything.
All right.
Not
is
just,
it everything?
It looks like it.
Wow. That's cool. Very interesting. Yeah, given that there's a... We're talking about this on Going In Raw Friday, right?
Yeah, the Dirt Sheet episode on Friday. Yeah. The rumors going around via WrestleZone that WWE is at least maybe having discussions about having another draft post-WrestleMania. I believe WrestleZone said it would be centered around the Backlash pay-per-view, which would also be the first pay-per-view, according to internet rumor, that will be co-branded in all pay-per-views going forward, at least for the foreseeable future. Backlash into the future will be co-branded.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because they're going back to like one a month now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it makes sense. I mean, I feel like it makes sense for them to make them co-branded, because otherwise you're going every other month with a pay-per-view per brand. That's a long time.
Yeah, it is.
As we've seen, especially with SmackDown lately, where it feels like they're spinning their wheels
mm-hmm.
on TV just to get to the next pay-per-view where they actually culminate feuds.
So they got us thinking, what superstars... because that's one of the benefits of these drafts, superstar shakeups, whatever they call them, is that, you know, you get to mix up the talent, you get some fresh feuds, some intermingling that we haven't seen in a while.
Sometimes a switch in brands going to a different show can be a bit of a refresh
mm-hmm.
for your creative, for your career, offer you new opportunities.
So one great example of that, one good example of that is Apollo Crews.
Mm-hmm.
He started on SmackDown, mm-hmm. did a whole lot of nothing there.
Yeah.
Or they had a whole lot of nothing for him, goes over to Raw, fresh start, joins up with Titus Worldwide, and he was just in that Elimination Chamber.
The last month, second. I don't know if they just finally said to him, you know, work how you work,
yeah,
wrestle how you wrestle best, because this last month he's been put on incredible performance.
His match has been a lot of fun,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, and he's on TV almost every single week, he's
yep.
been doing stuff, it's been really good.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like you said, this could benefit... you know, as somebody who has stagnated, a bit stale.
Underutilized,
exactly. Maybe somebody on SmackDown. Here's one caveat, though. You mentioned earlier, you said SmackDown kind of feels like it's spinning its wheels. I haven't been huge on SmackDown's creative lately. I feel like it's been a bit on the stagnant side.
Yeah.
And so at this point, it does kind of feel like SmackDown, I'm not going to call it a dumping ground necessarily, but it does kind of feel like they're not getting the big production overhaul that Raw got.
It still feels like the B show.
And so this presupposes that SmackDown maybe gets a little bit of that budget, maybe gets a little rebrand, and more importantly, freshens up their creative. So maybe a number 11 would be ship some people from creative from Raw or to SmackDown.
Yeah.
SmackDown used to be a stellar show, creatively speaking.
I know. I don't know what changed.
I don't know either. I have no idea. The only thing I can possibly think is there has been some sort of... We understand that writer turnover is kind of a thing with the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe somebody left. Maybe it was Jimmy Jacobs. Maybe it wasn't. I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
But, you know, we don't want to... Like, for example, you know, if we put... What's going on? Number 10.
10.
10.
10.
Ty Dillinger isn't doing anything on SmackDown.
No.
Ty Dillinger.
He's hardly on TV.
He's barely on TV.
At the house show we just went to, he lost.
Against Mojo Rawley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't seem to have any plan for him over on SmackDown. He was briefly involved in the U.S. title picture over the summer, but we both knew he had no chance of getting that belt.
Right.
So if anybody on SmackDown feels like they need to go to Raw to get a fresh start in hopes that they'll be utilized to their fullest potential, it's Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
He was incredibly over in NXT. Before they had, you know, like they signed a bunch of people, I thought he was a shoe-in to win the NXT title. Obviously, didn't happen. He got called up because the 10 chance were so over. And then they haven't done anything with him.
Yeah, he had a really good showing in last year's Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
This year, not as much.
That's the one shoe-in for Ty, though. Every year at the Rumble, he'll come in at number 10.
Yeah, and then this year he just got beat up before he got in. So.
I know.
But yeah, this look, at first I was like, dude, they're not going to do anything title, but they're literally not doing anything with him. So might as well give him a change of scenery. I think I remember actually feeling the same way about Apollo Crews. Like, okay, well, he's going to Raw. Who cares? They're not going to do anything with him. Well, they weren't doing anything with him before. This happens with every single wrestler who has grown stale, stagnated, or is being underutilized. All it takes is one thing. It takes one thing for them to get back on track.
Yep.
One thing.
Just takes one thing. One good feud, even just a good match.
Ty Dillinger.
Yeah.
One thing.
One thing.
Send him over Raw and then one thing.
One thing.
There you go.
One good feud. One good match.
One good thing.
One good segment.
Yeah.
Would go a long way.
Do something new.
Something new.
Number nine.
Nine.
Baron Corbin.
I feel like Baron's used up all his feuds on SmackDown.
Yeah, that is one of the things about SmackDown is that they definitely need
an infusion of talent.
Infusion of talent. Some swappage.
I mean, it's a combination of having a smaller roster. And then especially, I think one thing I've noticed, the decline in quality on SmackDown is kind of correlated with the change, towards the end of last year with the pay-per-view schedule where they're doing just essentially one a month. And so you have these 2 months waits between SmackDown pay-per-views, and with the smaller roster, things just don't feel as fresh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the spinning of the wheels. We've seen that all fall and winter with this whole Daniel Bryan, Shane McMahon thing.
Yeah.
Something that started at Hell in a Cell in October, and we're still waiting to see where it goes, and we don't feel like there's been a whole lot of character evolution, a whole lot of narrative
movement
yeah. going on this whole time. We still kind of feel like we're more or less stuck in the same place.
Right.
And if they brought in some new talent, and now with the pay-per-views being monthly, hopefully that'll change. But right now, Baron Corbin seems like he's had feuds with pretty much everybody he can on SmackDown.
Yeah, and the thing about Baron also is that, number one, I mean, you know, obviously if we did this, we would then... SmackDown needs different heels. They need more heels, and they need different heels. Like you said, Baron's been around, and he's just done a lot of stuff, and there's nothing left for him to do. So what you'd want to do at that point is bring him over to Raw, and there's a million people. There are so many people that he could then feud with a million different ways.
Yeah.
Because Raw is like a giant playground.
Imagine Baron coming over in the draft, feuding with Roman Reigns for the Universal title.
Right, exactly.
Be great for both of them.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. Yeah. Finn Balor. Any number of people.
Yeah. Seth Rollins.
There you go.
Pretty much any of the top faces on Raw, Corbin would be a good opponent for.
Yeah, because it doesn't feel like
Braun Strowman.
When he won Money in the Bank, yeah, that'd be fantastic. When he won Money in the Bank, it kind of felt like, okay, well, at least he's got kind of a path here. And then there was that weird stuff where he was maybe being punished, and then he lost Money in the Bank.
In fairly embarrassing fashion, too.
Yeah, exactly. And Cena laughed at him a lot. And so, I don't know. He definitely needs... There's been kind of a rocky... Like, there's been ups. There's also been downs.
Yeah.
So, you know, a clean slate would probably be good for Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
I would think at this point.
Yes.
Number eight.
Eight.
T-Bar.
They've pretty much done all they can do on the Raw tag division.
And they're becoming a bit redundant. I mean, you've got the Club and the Revival and T-Bar.
They all kind of occupy the same space.
They're all hard-hitting physical tag teams.
Heel or tweener tag teams.
Right, exactly.
Yes. Whereas on SmackDown, you have Bludgeon Brothers as top heels.
You have a lot of, almost, I'm not going to say cartoony acts, but you've got acts that are more gimmicky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Usos, they have their Uso penitentiary guy. Their guys are supposed to be sort of gangster-type guys. You have the New Day, obviously, you know, who knows what they're even, you know, pancakes and booty cakes and you know, they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm not slagging them off, believe me.
Yeah.
But they occupy really a space that's almost, you can't define it, you know, which is great. You've got, you know, Rusev Day. Sometimes they're a tag team, sometimes they're not.
But they don't seem like they know what they're doing with them.
Right, exactly.
Ascension and Fashion Police are comedy acts.
Comedy acts, exactly.
Gable and Benjamin are kind of heel-ish.
Yeah.
But they don't really seem like they're really going full bore into making them heels. And also, they're most decidedly out of the title picture after losing the Usos that 2 out of 3 falls match and now feuding with Fashion Police and the Ascension.
And the thing about the bar also, it's weird, I'm so used to calling them the bar. The thing about them, Sheamus and Cesaro, is that they have developed such a credibility. They come over to SmackDown and they would be instantly the most feared thing there. It would be so much fun to see how they would react to the Bludgeon Brothers, mm-hmm. who are the scariest thing on SmackDown, mm-hmm. but they're like horror film scary. Yeah, you know? Yeah. And so to see the New Day interact with them, the Usos interact with them, it would be a lot of fun. But, you know, like I said, they are kind of feeling redundant at this point. The Revival seems to have a lot of steam and momentum behind them.
Yeah.
And so I would like to see maybe a program between those two. Drop those titles to Revival and then get drafted over to SmackDown, mm-hmm. maybe. I don't know. But I think that would be a really great infusion of talent. And on top of that, you could always go down the path of breaking them up. Let's say Sheamus...
His neck issue is
as bad as some people have said it possibly is. I hope it isn't. But if it is, Cesaro then could be a top... We wanted him on SmackDown for ages.
From the beginning.
He wanted to be on SmackDown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that could be good.
Yeah.
Number seven.
Seven.
Matt Hardy.
Yes, wonderful.
So, before SmackDown sort of hit some bumpy roads creatively, it was sort of known for being the program that would take a bit more risks.
Looser.
It could stand to be a bit goofier.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the Fashion Files. I mean, those little video packages got Breezango incredibly over. They could have won the tag titles and people were on the verge of popping for it.
For better or worse, we had a House of Horror.
You
know, with Bray and Randy, we had that ridiculous projection match, which was garbage, but I actually really liked House of Horror. And so I do think that if they returned to that sort of thing, to that, you know, willingness to play things a bit goofier,
yes,
then that would be the perfect. And on top of that, if it's the B show, you have kind of leeway to be goofier.
Well, there's
less
pressure on
you. You're less on the radar.
To the Hardy compound, do a series of videos there. I mean, you could do a Final Deletion type thing,
mm-hmm.
With Matt and whoever he's going to be feuding with at the time. This is all assuming, of course, that he gets through this feud with Bray Wyatt with none of this happening.
Yeah, right.
Or we can always have more of it on SmackDown. I mean, Fashion Files is a weekly ongoing thing for months.
Yeah.
Why not give Matt Hardy something similar?
Yeah.
You know, live with Vanguard 1, mm-hmm. from the Hardy compound, mm-hmm. when he doesn't have a match.
You know, I'd love to see a feud with Matt Hardy because it'd be so weird and so 180.
Ooh.
Gender.
Yeah.
It would be so weird, but it could be extremely entertaining.
That'd be good. Rusev versus Matt Hardy.
That'd be great.
That'd be spectacular.
That'd be awesome. We see Rusev mowing the lawn in his Speedo.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigar.
And Matt Hardy on his Ryder mower.
Yeah. There you go. It writes itself.
Yep.
Perfect. Matt Hardy. Number six.
Six.
Samoa Joe. I kind of feel like, so the SummerSlam, the amazing SummerSlam Fatal 4-Way they had with Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much fun. But the one guy we kind of felt didn't have a chance in that match was Samoa Joe.
He had some moments to shine early on. But yeah. I know what you mean.
Talk about somebody who could be perceived, although I don't believe he is, and I know you don't either, but as redundant. Somebody who SmackDown right now lacks the big, like, sort of the monster guy.
Well, they don't have a heel over there that really inspires fear in anybody.
Right, exactly. Like, Baron doesn't inspire fear anymore. And that's what they need. They need, mm-hmm. they need a punch in the gut, mm-hmm. you know? They need somebody who can just beat you down. And Samoa Joe, I couldn't think of any feud that would be so much more fun than Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles. That would be so much fun for that WWE Championship. You get that lineage title on Samoa Joe for a little bit.
Yeah.
Hopefully Joe can stay healthy.
Yeah.
This could be massive for SmackDown. The number of storylines they could tell. And then Samoa Joe not wanting to be on the same page with the authority figure, Shane McMahon or Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Them not being able to control Samoa
Joe. Good stuff.
There's so many things you could do with Samoa Joe on SmackDown. I think it'd be fantastic.
The only reason they might not want to do it at least as soon is they would have AJ, Bobby Roode, and Samoa Joe, all the TNA guys in the same show.
I really wonder if that is – because that could be a thing, or it could totally not be
a thing.
I don't know.
I mean, it's been so far removed. What, AJ left TNA in 2014, 2013, something like that? Mm-hmm. Joe, not that long after. So we're talking 3-4 years removed from their time there. So maybe in that sense, maybe they figure, okay, 3 years have passed. People, I mean, at least WWE fans view at least Joe and AJ for sure as WWE wrestlers and not so much TNA wrestlers anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe they probably still viewed Bobby Roode more as an NXT guy as opposed to WWE guy. I don't know. But
yeah. I mean, I really would like to think that WWE is getting to the point. You know, we're seeing AJ versus Nakamura, which is a throwback to New Japan. WWE seems to love New Japan these days.
Yeah.
Because they're putting Balor Club together, AJ versus Shinsuke. There's probably another couple examples I'm missing out on. And so I would like to think that they would kind of embrace, if fans start chanting TNA.
Yeah, embrace their shared history.
Yeah. TNA is no competitor. Impact is not even around anymore. It's Impact now. And they're
TNA wasn't competition.
Right. And as Impact, Impact is trying to reposition itself as sort of a prominent indie type organization.
Yeah, Impact's competition is Ring of Honor right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's good. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's totally a non-issue. The only issue is Vince weird about it?
Exactly.
That's kind of the thing. Is Vince going to be weird about it?
That would be my worry, too.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Triple H cares.
Yeah, I don't think
he does.
It'd
just be if Vince was like, well, we're going to have these two former TNA wrestlers. Isn't that giving TNA, you know, like, give them credit for developing quality wrestlers?
Yeah.
Which is a ridiculous thing to think.
I know. Number five.
Five.
Seth freaking Rollins.
See, Raw kind of has a lot of faces right now.
Well, he teased this a little bit last Monday. He says, I don't know if I want to be on Raw anymore.
No, he said he wants to be Raw.
I know, but he kicked it off saying, I'm not sure I want to be part. He said, I'm not sure I want to be part of Raw anymore. I want to be Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. But anyways, he'd probably get more opportunity to top of the card feud on SmackDown than he would on Raw, especially.
Oh, again.
When you have Reigns, you have Strowman occupying main event for the foreseeable future. Then you got The Miz, whatever Dean's going to do when he comes back. If Joe stays on Raw, whatever he's going to do.
After Seth came back from injury, did he win that title again?
Yeah, then Dean cashed in on him.
Okay.
Seth beat Roman, and then right after the match, Dean cashed in.
Oh, okay. So he just had it for like seconds?
Yeah.
And he hasn't
been close to it since.
Yeah, he could come back to...
Well, it's not true. He challenged for the Universal title, and Balor beat him. Oh, Balor's the top of the card on Raw, too.
Yeah. He could go and say, AJ, I never really lost that title.
Mm-hmm.
I want it now. Give me title.
I know.
Yeah.
And that'd be great. Love to see a feud between AJ and Seth Rollins.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. That'd be great.
Or Seth Rollins and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, that's the thing. Again, you're looking at, you know, fantasy matches. I mean, it's been almost 2 years since the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're looking at situations where, you know, I mean, hey, let me ask this. If this draft is announced, are we then going to do our mock
fantasy draft? Heck yes.
Our mock draft.
I'll win it this time, too.
I don't think you won it last time. Who's your number one pick?
I don't remember.
No, this time out.
Oh. Well, it'd probably be AJ.
Damn it, that's my number one pick. All right. Seth Rollins, he'd be great on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He'd be fantastic. There's just too many alpha male faces over there on Raw.
I know.
You need to relieve some of the pressure.
Yeah.
You know, the house that AJ built needs some guests.
Need some stiffer competition.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Number four.
Four.
Bayley. Now, you chose Bayley here for number four.
Yeah.
I'm kind of more personal to the idea of Sasha Banks, but tell me why you like Bayley.
Well, with Ronda Rousey coming over to Raw, they're at least at first going to push her as top face.
Probably.
Unless there's a backlash from the fans.
Which is always possible.
Yes, they may turn her heel or they may double down. Who knows? Sasha seems primed for a heel turn.
Yeah.
Because at first I had thought Sasha too. But if Sasha's going to turn heel, then that's a good feud for Ronda to have down the road. Whereas if Ronda occupies one of the top face roles on Raw, then that means Bayley's going to take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, send her to SmackDown where she can still have a really prominent role along with Charlotte, and Becky Lynch, and Naomi. to anchor the SmackDown Women's Division.
Yeah.
That's my rationale.
Yeah. No, I like it. I think it's good. I think SmackDown has the feel of a show that probably is more suited for Bayley anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I think that. I just do. And so, no, I like this. I think it'd be good. I just, my thing about Bayley right now is she seems to have some momentum.
I know.
Now, I think everything is probably sadly going to change when Ronda comes in. And so whoever has momentum, that momentum will probably see a pretty sharp halt.
Here's another thing, too, is Asuka won the Rumble. She has yet to declare who she's going to challenge to take on at WrestleMania. Now, if she says, I want to go after Charlotte, and she moves to SmackDown.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Before this draft happens, that could change things a bit. Because then Bayley could step up and be kind of second top face on the Raw Women's Division.
Let me ask you something. Something about Ronda Rousey really quick, because it just occurred to me.
All right.
Kind of just occurred to me. What do you think would be a smarter direction? Because my thing is this. I'm not a huge fan of... So far, all we've gotten from Ronda is she comes in, she points at the WrestleMania sign. She's wearing, Roddy Piper's jacket and shirt, right? I kind of don't want her to come in and be fan of WWE.
Yeah, I don't either.
It'd be kind of more effective if they're going to put Paul Heyman with her, which we've heard rumors about. And I think it'd be a smart move. I kind of think it'd be better for her to be like the female Brock, kind of smiling people off, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If she's starting to get boos anyways, just go that route.
Oh, I agree.
Have her be this like super aggressive, like she's here to just not. I mean, it's kind of how I think of Shayna Baszler right now, which I think is a great comparison. I mean, could you imagine if they bring up Baszler a bit on the quick side to sort of be Ronda's henchwoman, kind of right-hand guy or whatever? That'd be like a dangerous team there. Just choking everybody out. That could really work as a heel team.
Yeah.
I just wonder if they'd want to pull the trigger on a heel Rousey.
Oh, I think they're going to. No, I think they're going to go with face Ronda.
They're
going
to try their damnedest to go with face Ronda, aren't they?
Yeah. Because if the idea is to have her in a mixed tag match against Triple H, and especially Stephanie, Stephanie's going to be the heel.
Yeah, I know. Boy, what a bummer. I mean, I think they just feel, okay, well, there's no way people are going to boo her.
Yeah.
But if she just comes in and starts wrecking people.
I know.
I don't know. Why is it okay for Brock to come in and he's like this vicious attack thing?
Let me ask you this. In terms of her partner at Mania, so when they go the mixed tag match route, what would be more effective for getting her potentially over as a face if the options are The Rock and Braun Strowman? So I know Rock, you know, he's one of the greats, has a legacy.
Well, the problem with The Rock is that if The Rock's in there, it's The Rock show.
I know.
That's the thing.
Whereas I feel like if it's Braun, A, he's immensely popular.
Yeah.
No one's going to boo Braun.
Yeah.
And Braun being in that match could be huge for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's going to be one of the three top matches on the card.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually lean towards Braun getting that spot.
Yeah, me too. I'm not sure.
We saw when The Rock came out after Roman won the Rumble a few years back, and Reigns still got booed.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if anybody's going to boo Braun.
Yeah, nobody's booing Braun.
Nobody's booing Braun.
I don't know. But at the same time, I'd rather see Braun doing something to forward his own path.
I agree, at least in terms. But I think him being in that match speaks to how highly WWE views him.
Yeah, I don't
disagree.
If they
put him in that spot and say, you know, you're Ronda Rousey's tag team partner.
Yeah.
You get a square off against Triple H.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty huge.
If it was my choice to do it, if they said, Steve, you can book this now.
Yeah.
I don't know. So for me, that match is such a throwaway celebrity gimmick thing. Even though I know it's not, and it's Ronda Rousey, they're bringing her in as like a full-timer or part-time full-timer or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I still, like, if it's me, I still say put Kurt in there. Who cares? Because right. I want to see Braun do his thing. I know it'll be entertaining. It's just kind of a throwaway match. That's my thing. It's kind of a throwaway match.
I agree with you, but I feel like it'd be more must-watch for me personally if Braun was involved as opposed to Kurt or The Rock. Because Braun would be the only one not the only one. Braun and Ronda have actual stakes in the match because they're going to be around as full-time wrestlers.
How about this? Braun does that, and Braun is in the Universal Championship match. But then on top of that, he's also in the Intercontinental Championship
match.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Can we just do that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do that. Number three, Authors of Pain. I like how we spent most of that entry talking about Braun and Ronda and not a lot about Bayley. Number three, Authors of Pain.
They got nothing left to do in NXT.
Yeah, this is our one NXT entry that we have on this list, and it's because there is literally nothing left to do. Now,
I mean, I guess they can sharpen their mic skills a little bit before getting called up.
Well, they've even been doing that lately. What's wrong with my ear?
But they've already won the tag titles. They've dropped them.
They've won.
Winning
they won
them again would be, I don't know.
So are we assuming at this point, so when does the Dusty Classic finish? Is it?
Take over New Orleans, I'm guessing.
Okay.
The finals will be there.
I'm going to guess that they're going to probably lose big in the finals.
Uh-huh.
You know, against I don't know who. How cool would it be if it was the Street Profits?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. In like a fantastic match. I'm guessing that they're going to be, like, it has to be the Raw after Mania.
Yeah.
It has to be that.
Yeah. Or the draft, if the draft happens at Backlash, it would be about a month later.
Because I totally forgot about the Dusty Classic. It's like, okay, well, they can still do the Dusty. They can pass the torch at the Dusty Classic, which is like the biggest torch passing a tag team can get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, they're defending the title of winner of the Dusty Classic.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah.
That makes some sort of sense. But
yeah, I guess.
But yeah, there's absolutely zero reason for them to stick around NXT after Mania.
And we've been saying that. We've said that for the last, like, there's like Survivor Series coming up. No reason for Authors of Pain to be around anymore.
Still there.
Survivor Series, Royal Rumble's coming up. No reason for the Authors of Pain to be there.
Still there.
So they better get their shit together. Get them out of there. Put them on Raw.
Yeah.
And again, that would also make T-Bar even more
superfluous.
Superfluous. Thank you. That's a great word. So yeah, get the Authors of Pain on Raw. Put T-Bar on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Don't want Authors of Pain on SmackDown because them and the Bludgeon Brothers, too similar.
Oh yeah, exactly. Don't want that.
No.
Number two.
Two.
AJ Styles.
This is more your pick.
Yeah, man. Right.
And I'm going to stick by this. As long as they want Roman Reigns to be top guy on Raw, AJ Styles is going nowhere near Raw.
You're probably right. A, you're probably right. B, his dubbing himself the man who built SmackDown's house isn't going anywhere anytime soon. However, he is the best wrestler in the company, barring maybe Johnny Gargano. But he is the best wrestler in the company. He should be on the A show, and that show is Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
He needs that spotlight because he needs to be there.
Yeah.
It's Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I know what it is.
And he looks great in red.
Yeah.
Do a fair swap. Him for Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, and T-Bar.
All right.
That's a fair swap right
there.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you take AJ out of SmackDown, you're losing the heart of SmackDown.
Okay, you're right, but then that's why you put somebody else in there.
But I don't know if anybody's been publicly so vocal about wanting to be the heart of SmackDown.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can always change. You can be like, I've done everything I can building SmackDown.
The Baltimore Orioles decided, like halfway through Cal Ripken's streak, trade him. Get rid of him. We don't need him anymore.
I'm okay with that.
We'll get young players in exchange for the most legendary player this franchise will probably ever have.
Fresh blood. Yeah, no, man. Put him on Raw. That's where he belongs. Roman Reigns, SmackDown. Have Roman Reigns go back down and do an NXT stint.
Is that what you want?
Yeah. Have the crowd boom out of the building there. No, I don't know. I just like AJ Styles when I'm on Raw. But number one, let's get a number one.
All right.
Number one.
One.
Balor Club.
Which means AJ would have to stay on SmackDown so we can get this Finn Balor, AJ Styles club feud going. This needs to happen.
For just like a couple months. And then Balor Club will send him packing to Raw.
Fine.
And they can take over. It's like, we built SmackDown now.
Real.
This is no longer SmackDown Live. It's SmackDown Real. That's good. Anyways, why do you want Balor Club over there on SmackDown?
I just said why. Feud with AJ Styles.
Yeah, okay. That's
and
good.
And it's kind of the same reason we talked about Seth going to SmackDown.
Too many alpha
heels. A lot
heels.
Of top faces over there on,
faces, yeah.
on Raw. Granted, they're teasing tweener territory for Finn. But get him over to SmackDown. Top tweener on SmackDown. Club ain't doing nothing.
Right.
Send them over to SmackDown.
Yep.
Give them an opportunity to tag division. Really, Balor Club, you know, package them so they're all wearing this similarly themed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have them go on a run, win titles,
mm-hmm.
dominate the show they're on,
yeah.
and then develop a true challenger to their domination.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
All right. I like it. No, I like it. And I like keeping AJ there just for this.
Yeah, you need that to happen.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Building up to Mania 35 main event, AJ versus Finn.
Finn wins. AJ goes to Raw in the 35 draft.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
That's good.
All right, it's all good stuff.
You can toss Kenny Omega in there, too, if he's available.
Sure, why not?
All Kenny, the former leaders of Bullet Club involved in one
put
match.
Them all in there, plus Shinsuke.
Well, he was never a leader of Bullet Club.
No, but he was leader of Chaos.
Yeah, but that's not Bullet Club.
So he's got to be in there too.
Why?
Because if it's a match between
former leaders of you're telling me a match between AJ, Kenny Omega, and Finn Balor isn't 5-star possibility potential there?
You know who makes it a 6-star? Johnny Gargano. No,
it's true, but he has no affiliation
Shinsuke
with Bullet Club.
Shinsuke Nakamura. Yeah,
just give me the Bullet Club leaders.
Well, then bring Cody in too.
All right.
Because isn't he Bullet Club leader right now?
I don't know. That's unknown.
Ooh.
I think they might be a faction without a true leader. Bullet, Tama Tonga.
Bullet Club is fine. Yay or nay?
I don't think it is, man. Coming apart at the seams. We got Kenny. We got the Golden Lovers taking on Cody and Marty Scurll. And Marty Scurll saw the graphic for the match. He said, no one told me about this.
I didn't approve this.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Bullet Club is not fine.
Not fine.
Not fine.
Not fine.
Not fine. We can agree with that.
They got issues.
Bullet Club definitely needs a brand change. Anyways, that's it for Count Out. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.